Morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome, welcome to Harbor of Joy. Let's stand up and worship together.
The flowers that are up here today, they're here because of Becky Berg, service for her yesterday, and it's all because of the family of Larry and Eric and Angela and the Berg family that they're here today. They're going to take what they want after the service here today, but there might be some left and we'll still share them. But hearts go out to you, Larry, and I found that I forgot the card in my vehicle yesterday. It had slipped over on the passenger side between the door and the seat. And my wife found it this morning as we came to church. And I go like, oh, great. So I did give it to Eric and Angela, but sorry about that. I just wasn't even thinking about a card, but I didn't see it. It was the issue, so. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Glad that you are here, and some of you were here yesterday as well. I noticed that. That was good to see. And it was just really a great time to be together with people that you love and people that you know and some you don't know, and that we just had a good farewell to say to Becky as well. And we know that will be some hard days. It'll be good days and some hard days ahead, Larry. And I know that personally as well. And but I'll just say, when everybody's gone, I'm going to come a-knocking, or I might come a-driving in, but I know you're a guy that doesn't stick around home a lot either, so I mean, I'll call before I come, making sure you'll be home, so with that. But other announcements that are here, there's been a change in the council meeting that has been moved up to tomorrow night. It's not Tuesday night, it will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, just so you, those of you that are on the council, that you know that. Moved up a day because of some things that are being done that we got to have our president there. So that's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That's not in your bulletin. So what's in the bulletin is wrong. It's just been changed here this morning. And also want to just thank Linda Johnson for all that she did and the ladies that helped with serving the food and everything yesterday. It was just wonderful to see those of you that, you know, if you wouldn't have responded the way that you did, I don't know what it would have looked like or what we would have had, but thank you for the bars and the cookies, those of you that brought those and made those and dropped them off. That's just a great thing, too. So on behalf of the family, I just thank you for doing that. This week, if you notice, it's going to be the Grief Share Group. Suzanne is going to be leading that still, right? You're still going to be around till Richard gets back? Okay, Richard Mitski is going to be coming back in April, I believe, and then he'll help with that. And that's at 12:30 on Tuesday. And then we go to Wednesday, which is going to be some different things happening now this Wednesday because Lent begins. So there's going to be a meal at 5:15. You're welcome to be a part of that. The who's putting on that food there? It's the Joy Kids and the Parish Ed Committee are putting the meal together, so there'll be a meal at 5:15 this Wednesday. And so you can be a part of that. And then at 6 o'clock, we will have our Lenten service. It's designed, especially, I don't want it to go an hour. So if you're thinking, like, I don't have an hour to come to give to Lent, it's not going to be that way. I'd say 45 minutes is kind of, hopefully that's all it is, but you know how a pastor can be. So, I mean, I try to keep it just where it'll be at about 45 minutes if possible. Might be shorter than it, who knows. But we're going to be looking at the journey of Jesus to the cross, and we're going to do it by looking at different aspects of his last week on right before the cross is what we're looking at. And so this coming Wednesday, it's going to be looking at the road. There might be things you don't even think about when you think about the road that Jesus was on. It was not the road of March Madness with college basketball. It's a whole different kind of a road that he is on as well. So we'll be looking at that as he heads in that direction with each different place. It could be a street. It can be a room. Those kinds of things we'll be looking at during Lent. So you're welcome to be a part of that. My confirmation class, the second-year confirmation class, I've talked to them. They're going to be here, and I've given them some questions that they have to fill out. You guys don't. But they got questions that they have to fill out, and they're going to sit more up front. So you can just keep an eye on them. And I'm going to say you got a lot of people behind you that are going to throw a hymnal to hit you if you don't behave. No, they won't do that. So I'm looking forward to that on Wednesday. Thursday night, 6:30, there is a Read Through the Bible with Patty Griffiths. You've been doing that, right, Patty?
Yes.
You know? And that's Thursday at 6:30, right? And so glad that you guys are discussing and going through reading the Bible in a year. And then next Saturday, we have another kind of a saying goodbye to Idella Hispy. And so the church will be open at from noon till 3 o'clock. Doug and the family will be here. And it's a kind of a come and go. It's going to be really different compared to what we're probably accustomed to, but I just say, hey, Doug, it's fine. It's fine because it's come and go, which means you can come at any time you want, greet the family, go in the fellowship room and have some coffee or some cookies or whatever is going to be there. Maybe there'll be nothing there. I don't know. There'll be something there, though, right? Okay, it doesn't have to be all that stuff. That's a lot of stuff, you know. But we come not because of what we can eat or drink. We come because of you guys. And so it's kind of a come and go, leave when you have to type of a thing. You don't have to stay there for 3 hours, like from noon to three. It's not going to be that at all. You just come when you can, leave when you want to. And greet the family, talk to the family. If you got some memories that you'd like to share with them about Idella, you can sure do that at that time as well. And that's next Saturday from noon till 3 o'clock. And you can read more of that in the bulletin here. We're glad to have Dave Reif with us here today. Don't applaud because he never likes having it be in the limelight, but I just want to know that Dave had a heart attack this past week, and it really put the Blessing Box guys wondering, like, now what? Dave's not here, and we go, well, whoever would have thought that he would have a heart attack? But he's back with us, and he can't use his right hand. Yeah, he can't use that because he's got something put in there from the doctor yet. What is it called? A port? Okay, yeah. 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 So, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just good to have you here and Sarah. Thanks, Sarah, too, for also texting as well, letting us know what was going on. And I'm glad the girls were there. Nothing like having family around you in a time like that, right? Very important. So I didn't think you'd be here today at all. Well, thank you, Sarah, for forcing him to come today. That wasn't the case at all. But glad that you're here. And You know, there's Al Holman, who had hip surgery last Friday. He's still in the Spirit Lake Hospital, recovering from that. I'll be going up to see him this afternoon. I talked to Sharon last night on the phone, and she was up there yesterday with him for a while, and she's got good help with Craig and with Todd, her sons, that are taking care of her, getting her up there and back home type of a thing. So just be remembering him in prayer, as well as in Dean Ramsey's son, Rob. Rob is a little bit of improvement from last time, but he's got a long ways to go, as you still can remember that. So keep the Ramseys in your prayers. And it's not just Rob, you know. Cheryl's parents are not doing well, and they live in Faribault. And she has a sister that's got some issues, too, there. So there's a lot going on in the Ramsey life. So if you don't see them here, that's why. There's a lot of stuff going on in their life, as some of you here have a lot of stuff going on in your life, too. So one last thing. Well, there's a couple of things. The Cherish bottles are here for those of you that have been a part of getting a Cherish bottle, a baby bottle, which goes to the Cherish House as a kind of their fundraiser. We will collect those on Easter Sunday, or somewhere's in there, but Easter Sunday is kind of a cutoff. And then also we have the Seder meal. Do we have a video of that this morning, Lynn-Ann? All right, the Seder meal. Watch what is on the monitor. It'll give you a good idea what is coming ahead for us in April. Sorry that you got to stand so long up here. I feel like I'm a robot. Those sounds, but just want you to know that you can sign up if you want to be a part of having the meal, taking the meal. Sign up by March 30th, right, Patty? Be the last Sunday of this month. You can sign up to take part in this meal that will be here. We've got a speaker. His name is Trevor, I believe. Is that correct? Trevor. He'll be coming here. He is a Messianic Jew that will be here. He goes around and does the speaking and does the Seder meal, the Passover meal, with churches that invite him to come. And we've invited him to come. So that's going to be on a Thursday night in April. So the Wednesday in April, we will not meet for Lenten service. The Seder meal will be a part of our Lenten gathering. So and it'll start a little bit earlier, 5:30, and go to 7:30. There's about 2 hours, so keep that in mind if they do the whole thing. But please sign up if you've never been a part of that and make the connections. The Jews still do this today. They have their Passover, but many of them don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know how they cannot see the connections that are there. So if you got any questions, talk to Maria Watke. or Patty Griffiths. If you got any questions about the Seder meal, the Passover meal that is being planned, and please sign up if you can do that. With that, let's have a word of prayer together and ask God to come and to be with us in ways that only He can. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to have people that are here as well, that have come through the doors today, that we've come once again to worship You. And we pray, Lord, that You would just continue to be with Dave as he recovers from this heart attack, and to be with Rob as he deals with, it would have to be frustrating of knowing what you used to do and you can't do it anymore. To be like a quadriplegic. I have no idea what that's like, Lord. I'm thankful for those that come and see him, that those that come and pray with him, those that pray from a distance for him, that he would be able to get back to doing what he loved to do. Be with the family, Lord, because it's a huge change for all of them. Also, Lord, be with the Berg family, too, as they go through the loss of Becky and just how quickly that has taken place. But yet, Lord, we know that things can happen that we don't expect. But you will never leave us, and you'll never forsake us. You're always there with us through the thick and through the thin, through the painful times of suffering, watching a loved one suffer, and asking God to help us to let go, knowing that everything is in Your hands. And so today, Lord, bring us closer to Jesus, to the cross, to having a relationship with God like we've never had before, of just knowing that He doesn't love us just because we say He does, but that we know it in our hearts and in our lives. We see our sin, and we know we need to confess our sin and to just admit that we are sinners to You, Lord, and that we need a Savior who died for us and who will cover the penalty of our sin, that we may live for Him as He lives in us. So thank You for all that is being planned and all that has taken place. Lord, we're with You today. It doesn't mean that we will be with You next Sunday, but that we're thankful that we can do here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The call to worship says this, comes from Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
Accept you in me, and I will follow.
responsive reading today, keep in mind it's there's some parts that's just men, some just women. There is some with everybody together. So it's to keep you on your toes today because you lost an hour of sleep. And I know that you probably are struggling already with staying awake. So keep in mind what we got here in the responsive reading. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I will... And that's right. Keep going, guys. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Ladies, go ahead.
My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand.
And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
He still thought that was reckless. They thought it was just, it didn't make sense. The veil was still before their eyes. And so I'm just praising the Lord that the Spirit that has made his home in us, for those of us that have allowed him in, he has made his home in us, and the veil has been removed from our eyes, that we're able to see him and experience this reckless love. And our prayer in this season especially is that all people, right, would know, would have the veil removed from their eyes, that the scales would fall from their eyes, like Paul, Saul at the time became Paul, and the scales would be removed, and they would see the love of Jesus, that he loves them, that he loves you so deeply, intensely, so recklessly, that he would throw his life away for you, his kingship, like all the things. The angels bowed before his feet. They couldn't even get his whole name out of their mouth before they fell on their face. Loved him. They adored him. He was wonderful. He said, you know what? So that my children can be with me, I'm going to give that to the Father. I'm going to go down on earth. And the Father sent him. And he showed his love. They still didn't believe it as he showed it. And so we're just going to praise God that Jesus did not stop at the cross, but he conquered death, defeated death, and we have nothing to fear anymore. We can experience the reckless love of God with no fear. No stress, no anxiety, knowing we can rest in him and have our peace in him, as he's our truth. So I'm going to read a couple of Bible verses, and then we're going to go ahead and sing Reckless Love together before the message. Thanks for bearing with me on that. I think the Lord was showing me this week. John 10, 7 through 11 says, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. 1 John, John continues to write, see what an incredible quality of love. See what reckless love the Father has shown to us. That we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. We are the children of God because of his reckless love. Because of his abundant love.
Thank you, Melissa. I don't think you need a message today. You already heard one. Thank you, Melissa. I invite you to stand out of reverence to God's word here this morning and turn to Luke chapter 4. It's probably one that you have heard many sermons from. You have read it yourself, but then there's always somebody here that goes like, I've never heard this before. Something very simple for those that attend church or go to church. But it has to do with temptation. That's what we're looking at here today. Temptation. And we're looking at the temptation of Jesus. Interesting that as he was baptized, he was led by the Holy Spirit after his baptism to go out into the desert where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Very beginning of his ministry. Can you believe that? 40 days, 40 nights, not eating anything. Here we go. This is what it says. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, get that, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Where did that come from? The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, here again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, now the devil is talking, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him back, I say to you, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The plot thickens. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here, that there is an evil presence known as Satan or the devil, a person who can show up in so many different disguises, but it's all to deceive and to hurt your people and to destroy your creation and to bring nothing but evil, no matter how it may look or what is said and how it is said. Lord, we know that the devil is still very much alive today because we all deal with temptation in our lives every day. Thank you, Lord, that we see here that Jesus Christ, who was tempted in every way, but he never ever sinned. There's things here, Lord, that we can learn today and we can apply to our own lives because of your word. May we see that and may we believe it. May it become a part of our lives and hearts each and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel writer, Luke, speaks of Jesus as being tempted as a man. He is both divine, he's both human. But as we find in his temptation, the devil is going after his humanness. And think of, I always thought that, you know, the devil didn't really come onto the scene until after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and then he kind of came after him when he was at the weakest. But if you read the text, Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Maybe not so by Satan himself, but it could have been, he could have been in there. But remember, Satan also is the king over the demons and his cohorts that have nothing in common, but they want to bring evil. They have nothing but bad in mind. They want Jesus to fail and to fall in the wilderness. Luke is describing the wilderness and the desert as we think back into the Old Testament. Guess where? We go back to the time of Moses. When the people left Egypt and are out in the wilderness, for how long? You can talk. 40 years. What did God do for these people over those 40 years? Did God lead them? Could they see God lead them for 40 years? Absolutely. Did they go where God wanted them to go? Yes. Were they always happy? No. Did they like to complain? Were they thinking it was better in Egypt than it was to be out there where they could see God moving them and doing things for them? They'd want to go back to Egypt. Some of them, not all of them. When the people got hungry, God provided what for them? Manna. It came from heaven. It was there every morning. They'd go to collect it, what they needed for the day, because they knew that, they were told anyway, that they were to believe God's word, that there would be manna the next day. Just take what you need. The people said, now I'm thirsty. I need some water. Do you think God knew that they needed water and they needed something to drink? He did. So they had to follow. Was it an easy path for these people to follow God? Probably not. Was it going to be around the next hill or over the next mountain, or, you know, it's a pretty dry place? What is God up to? What is he doing? It didn't matter. God was in charge. And God would always bring them to a place where there would be water for them to drink, not only for themselves, but also for their livestock that was also traveling with them. There was that one place, we talked about it last week. People were thirsty, and God had said to Moses, I just want you to go and speak to that rock, and water will come out. Find that in Numbers chapter 20. And Moses, how did he respond to the people? Was he kind to them? He called them rebels. You rebels! Who knows what else he's heard them say along, and for how long he's heard them complaining. But he's had it up to here. And we see Moses angry. So mad that he takes his staff that he had used with Pharaoh, showing some of the great signs and wonders and miracles of God through that. And he took that staff and he struck that stone twice, and now came the water for everybody to drink. Good water for the animals. So Luke is bringing this back to that. 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. Hey, the Israelites were used to being out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. You have been in the wilderness at times, or felt that way as well. Not for 40 years, but maybe there's somebody here that goes like, yeah, it's been that way my whole life. I feel I've been wandering around. I don't know if that's true or not. But when we find that the devil comes to Jesus, he is tempting Jesus. Jesus, God will never ever tempt you. He will test you, but he will not tempt you. So don't ever say that God has tempted me with this or that. That's not true. God's word says he'll test us. When he told Abraham, leave your country and I'll show you the place where to go, Abraham is being tested. Will he listen to God's word? Will he actually go to that place? Or is God tempting him to leave his home country and to go to a place that he doesn't know about? He's testing Abraham because he becomes the father of faith. Jesus here is becoming someone who is going to show us that he can do what none of us can do. He does not fall into temptation. He never, ever sinned. Some of you probably think you've never sinned. It's not true. You just lied by thinking that. So Jesus, as he's being tempted by the devil or by Satan, it's the same person. Temptation means this. It means to entice. It means to seduce you into believing in something that is not true, but it's to take you away from God. It has nothing to do but to harm you. And that's what Satan is very good at. We find it here. There's only three temptations that we have here in Luke. I'm sure there's a lot more in those 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus was tempted. We only have three in Scripture. Some of you like going fishing. What do you put on the end of your line? A lure, right? Or it could be a hook with something to get the attention of the fish to bite. And once the fish sees something and will bite it, you set the hook. That's what Satan likes to do to you and me. Give you something to look at, get your mind off of God, and to throw something out there to entice you away from God, that you will bite it, and hook, line, and sinker, you're hooked. But to know that if we are hooked, it's Jesus who can release us from that sin and give us something we've never been able to have before. Jesus, after 40 days and 40 nights, do you think he's hungry? How many of you get cranky when you get hungry? Now, I see a hand back there. We all do. That's the human part of us. You know, sometimes you're just plain cranky because you just haven't eaten for a while. And once you get something to eat, you go like, oh, I don't know why I got so upset about that or why I said that to you. And it's just all because you were hungry. Now, do you eat too much? I found out this morning as I'm laying in bed in the dark, I'm going like, you know, I think I need to stay away from sweets. And I'm going to try doing that. So if I don't eat anything, it's not because I don't want to. I really do. I love sweets. I'm just going to try to lose a few pounds. I think it's the sweets that puts that on. I'm just going to try and see. I'm just telling you so that it makes me more stronger to stay away from if I tell you this. So because I know you're going to go a long way. So how are you doing, Pastor? How are you doing with those sweets? I go like, well, I just had a Snickers bar. They go like, oh, yeah. I said, you still got struggles with it, right? You go, yeah, I do. So try not to do that. Well, Luke tells us in verse 2 that Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days. There was some temptations going on this whole way. It's not just at the very end. But what he does come up with is very natural. He would come at a weak point or make you think you're at a weak point. And what does he tell Jesus to do? Well, if you are the Son of God, this should be pretty easy for you to do. See this rock over here? Well, turn that into fresh baked bread. How many like the smell of fresh baked bread? Yeah. You're not going to smell it in here. But if you haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, that sounds pretty good. And he tempts him by saying, if you really are who you say you are, you can do this. Satan is so subtle. It sounds so good. And if Jesus would have gave into that, guess who he just listened to? He would have shunned what God has said, and he would have listened to what Satan told him to do. He would have gave up that. So we find that temptation can be very personal. And guess what? All of us are tempted. Even this past week, maybe this morning, and maybe you're tempted right now. You want to throw a hymn book at me because you don't like what you're hearing. Or maybe you just don't like me. I don't know. But you're tempted. It can be very personal, and yet Jesus answers, it is written. A man does not live on bread alone. You know where he gets that from? He goes back to Deuteronomy. When the people wanted something to eat, back in Deuteronomy, if you read the whole verse there, it'll say more than just what Jesus says here. But he's going back to when they're out in the wilderness. The people are hungry. And they were told even back then that man does not live on bread alone. They've been given manna. But there's more to come in the days ahead. The second temptation is the power with temptation. There's power in it. We find that in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, that Satan says, I will give you all their authority and splendor. And he's talking about the kingdoms of the world. I don't know how he did it, but he's able to give Jesus a view of everything that was going on at that time, of kingdoms, other kingdoms. And he says to them, they've been given to me, and I can give them to anyone I want. So if you worship me, all what you've seen will be yours. They're already his. He's the creator of the world. He was there from the beginning. He knows all the kingdoms that are there. But Satan comes and says, God's holding out on you. God has taken, he's got something, but he's taken it away from you that you don't have. But if you worship me, I'll give you power. Ever been tempted like that? Some way? And Jesus answered him again. Jesus says this, very important. It is written. He answers all three of these temptations with, it is written, meaning something that has been said previously in God's word. God has said something about this temptation. And Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It goes back to the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments, the first one. You shall have no other gods but me. The third temptation deals with pride. Luke 4, 9 through 11. He took Jesus to the top of the temple, way up high in Jerusalem. And again, he says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, see how he wants to put doubt in a person's mind? That's how Satan did it even in the Garden of Eden to Eve. You know, God didn't say you couldn't eat that fruit, did he? I mean, look how it looks. It's so good. God's trying to keep you from something good. You're going to know right from wrong. He said to stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, the reason he said that was because he's keeping something away from you, but if you eat, something good is going to happen to you. See how he lies? See how he's deceptive? Getting you to think differently, playing mind games with you. And it says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself from the top of this temple. It's almost like, go ahead and commit suicide. Go ahead. Throw yourself off because God's word says this. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And, he's taking Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12, but he twists that. He twists it. So the devil knows God's word, but he'll twist it to get you to think something else. And what he leaves out in what he is saying to Jesus here in Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12, is that the word carefully is translated in the NIV. That's what I use. But what it really says in Psalm 91, instead of carefully, it says, in all your ways. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Well, the devil leaves that out, in all your ways. He just says, carefully. He takes that out. He leaves that out. And so then Jesus answers back again, it is written. In God's word, God says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. When the devil had finished all of his tempting and he could not get Jesus to bite the bait that he had given to him, it says that he left Jesus until an opportune time. When do you think he comes back again? Garden of Gethsemane is one place. But there again, Jesus says, not my will, but thy will be done. But even before the Garden of Gethsemane, we find in Luke, I just want to make sure that I got the right verse here. It's Luke 22, verse 3. If you read that in your Bible, hopefully it will say this. It says that Satan came and entered into whom? To Judas Iscariot. Satan entered into Judas, and that's when Judas, who had already knew what he was going to do, left. Where he sells out to Jesus for 30 pieces of silver to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and to Caiaphas. Do you think Jesus was there when they were whipping Jesus and all that he went through for us? When he was nailed to the cross, do you think he was gleeful, saying like, aha, finally, he's going to die and then this will all be mine. Satan could never tell there was going to be a resurrection. And that's why Easter is so important. If there was a big party after Jesus died on the cross, he went there voluntarily for each one of us. But he rose again for each one of us too. He is the first fruit of death. We become the many fruits that are to follow and be a part of what he has done. So there's more to come. So just to kind of summarize this, what does this have to do with us today? Here's what it says. When you are weak, expect a major assault to take place in your life. When you are weak spiritually, when you are weak physically, expect some kind of a assault that Satan is going to come and tell you don't have to do whatever it is you need to do. He'll overwhelm you. And when you resist, be ready for a different approach. You may get by with it once, but know the devil never gives up Temptation is always going to come, no matter what. If he doesn't come in the front door, he'll go around the back door. If he can't get in the back door, he'll go up on the roof and see if he can't come through the roof somehow, some way. If he can't come through the roof, he'll come to his side window or whatever. But he never gives up. He'll always come up with something to get you to fall, to fail. Remember, Jesus was victorious with him. For us to resist, it is for us to trust in Jesus and to go to him. The devil comes knocking on your front door. He pushes the doorbell. I've heard it say, well, send Jesus to the door. Don't you go answer it. Send him Jesus. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of the situation. And we know that what it says in Hebrews 13:5, it says that God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. That's a good thing, isn't it? He's always there with us. Don't ever think that he's abandoned you. It's not true. Satan would want you to believe that. Well, God's given up on you. Forget about him. You don't have to go to church today. Well, I wasn't going to go to church today, but my wife said I better go. You know, temptation is there all different ways. We can get tempted to badmouth people. It can be even in church, and you go like, well, they're so-and-so. See how temptation works? It can work even here in church. You're not safe here. Real life says we need Jesus because we are sinners, and we know how to sin really good. But we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things that you teach us that sometimes we forget about. And so here today is a vital importance that we are all in need of a Savior. We all fail you, Lord. We fall into temptation. We do things we don't want to do. We think we do pretty good in some things, but then again, we mess that up too. Lord, thank you that you've shown us the way. And not that you just shown us the way, but that you can be in our lives and in our hearts to be what you are. But only you can make that happen. And so forgive us. Forgive us for listening to the deceptions that have come our way. Help us to just let you do your work and do it in your way. It's kind of like, help us to be in the back seat of the car and let you be the driver. And help us not to be the back seat driver, but that you have everything in control. Help us to be quiet and to listen and to be still and know that you are God and not me. So thank you that your word is powerful, life-changing, and it's the only word that brings us eternal life. The devil is not on that side at all. He would rather bring us nothing but evil and eternal death. So be with us here this morning and in the days ahead. When we drive, we can think. Before we take a nap, we can think about what has been said here today. And maybe you'll just open up our Bible and find out that did the pastor, what he said today, is it really true, or is it just something off the top of his head? And we'll take the Bible and we'll research it and we'll read Luke chapter 4. We'll go into Matthew and see what he says about the temptation. We'll go to Mark Very short, maybe one verse. That's all he says, that he was baptized and then he was tempted. But Lord, may we be like the Bereans. They not only heard, but then they would go and find out, is that really what the Bible said or says? They're looking for truth. May we believe your truth today, that Jesus died for us and never sinned one time, but he is our Lord, our King, and our Savior. And we're thankful for this. In your name we pray. Amen. Good thing I changed the clocks today, because otherwise you'd still have another hour to go here. But let us stand as we close by praying the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll do the Apostles' Creed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. Take your seats. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Okay.